Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on the riser stretch method with breakbeat surgery. Today we're turning a short drum and bass break into a gritty, tension-building riser. And the cool part is, we're doing it with stock Ableton tools only. So if you're just getting into DNB production, this is a really practical technique you can keep using again and again. Now, a riser in drum and bass is not just a whoosh effect. It's tension. It's movement. It helps glue the arrangement together and it makes the drop hit harder. Instead of reaching for a generic synth riser, we're going to use a breakbeat, slice it up, stretch it out, and shape it into something that feels authentic to jungle, liquid, or darker rolling DNB. First, choose a good source break. You want a 1-bar or 2-bar loop with strong transients and some character. Amen style breaks work great. Apache style breaks work great. Any dusty, gritty loop with clear snare hits can work. The important thing is that it has enough texture to survive stretching. If it's too clean, it may sound weak when you start processing it. A little grit is your friend here. Next, bring the break into Ableton. You can drag it onto an audio track and use it directly, or you can drop it into Simpler on a MIDI track. For beginners, the audio clip method is usually the easiest place to start. Open the clip, turn warp on, and get ready to shape it. For the warp mode, start with beats if you want to preserve the punch of the drums. That usually works best for break surgery. If the break is more atmospheric and you want it to smear more smoothly, you can try Complex Pro later. But for now, beats is a solid starting point. Set the transient handling so the break stays punchy, and adjust the gain so it sits comfortably without clipping. Now comes the surgery part. We want to isolate the most useful moments in the break, like snare hits, kick hits, ghost notes, and a little bit of simple room texture. You can do this by slicing the break to a new MIDI track, or by manually cutting the audio clip into smaller sections. If you're new to this, slicing to a MIDI track is the easiest route. Right-click the clip, choose Slice to New MIDI Track, and slice by transients or by note divisions like 1/8 or 1/16 depending on how busy the break is. Once you have the slices, start building a rising pattern. Think in terms of energy over time. In the first couple of bars, keep it sparse. Let a snare hit breathe. Add a kick pickup. Then gradually increase the density. By the middle of the build, you can start using more frequent fragments, and in the final bars you can move into rapid slice repeats or a little snare roll style movement. The key is to make the progression feel intentional, not random. Here's an important teacher tip. Don't make the first half too busy. Beginners often load too much energy at the start, and then there's nowhere for the build to go. Instead, keep the early section restrained and let the final 1 or 2 bars do the heavy lifting. That contrast is what makes the rise feel exciting. Now let's stretch the break into a proper tension bed. One easy method is to take a short break fragment, duplicate it across several bars, and stretch the clip longer with warp enabled. Ableton will smear the transient texture, and that can create a really nice grainy riser effect. Another option is to process the break with reverb and delay first, then freeze or render it, and stretch that result across the build. That gives you a more cinematic wash. You can also repeat a snare or top hit slice and make it speed up gradually, which feels very jungle-inspired. Before we go into the effects chain, let's talk gain staging. This matters. If your break is already peaking before effects, saturation, echo, and reverb will make it behave badly. So pull it down a bit first. Give yourself room to process. That way the riser can grow without turning into a messy wall of distortion. Now for the stock Ableton device chain. A really good starting order is EQ8, auto filter, saturator, compressor or glue compressor, echo, reverb, and then utility. Start with EQ8. High pass the low end so you're not cluttering the sub area. A cutoff somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz is a good starting point. If the break feels muddy, you can also cut a little in the low mids, around 250 to 500 Hz. Try to keep some snare crack in the upper mids so the break still reads clearly. Then use auto filter as the main motion tool. A low pass filter works great here. Start with the cutoff low and automate it upward over the build. For example, you might open it from around 200 Hz up to 16 kHz across 4 or 8 bars. Add a little resonance if you want the sweep to speak more clearly, but don't overdo it. A small amount of drive can also help the break feel more aggressive. Next comes saturator. This is where the break starts to get attitude. A few dB of drive, with soft clip-on, can help it stay present as it stretches out. Compensate the output so you're not just making it louder for no reason. We want edge, not clipping chaos. Then add a compressor or glue compressor to glue the slices together. You're aiming for a few dB of gain reduction, just enough to smooth the movement and keep the rise controlled. This helps the stretched break feel more finished and less like disconnected fragments. Echo is a huge part of the energy here. A dotted delay like 1/8D can add a lot of pull into the drop. You can also try 1/8 or 1/4 depending on the tempo and feel. Keep the feedback moderate at first, then automate it slightly upward near the end if you want more tension. Darken the repeats a bit so they sit behind the main break rather than fighting it. Reverb gives you space and smear. Use it carefully. If the reverb is huge too early, you lose the sense of progression. Keep the early section relatively dry, then open up the reverb toward the end of the build. A decay of a few seconds, with the low end cut out, usually works well. This is where the riser starts to feel bigger and more cinematic. Finally, use utility to shape the stereo field and manage the final gain. A nice trick is to keep the early part of the riser narrower, then widen it as the drop approaches. That makes the build feel like it's opening up. You can also use utility to keep the level under control so the rise doesn't overpower the rest of the track. Now automate the important controls. This is what makes the riser feel alive. Automate the filter cutoff upward. Automate the reverb wet amount or send level upward. Bring the saturation up gently. Increase the stereo width near the end and do a small volume ramp if needed. Think of the automation shape like this. Slow and restrained at the start, faster in the middle, then intense right before the drop. You can also add pitch movement for extra tension. If you're using simpler, automate transpose. If you're working with an audio clip, use clip pitch. A subtle rise of a few semitones can go a long way. You don't have to go wild. In fact, a small pitch climb often sounds heavier than a huge one. If you want a fake-out moment, you can jump it up more dramatically in the last bar, then cut to silence before the drop. That silence matters. A tiny gap before the drop can make the impact feel much bigger. It's one of those simple arrangement tricks that works every time. If the riser stops a fraction early, the drop suddenly feels wider, heavier, and more intentional. Let's map it out like a real 8-bar DNB build. In bars 1 and 2, keep it sparse with low-pass filtering and only a little space. In bars 3 and 4, add more slices and open the filter further. In bars 5 and 6, increase the density, widen the image, and push the delay a bit more. In bars 7 and 8, go full tension, repeated snare fragments, strong automation, bright transients, and then a short gap right before the drop. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the riser too loud. It should create tension, not take over the mix. Second, don't leave too much low end in it, because that will clash with the kick and sub in the drop. Third, don't warp so hard that the break turns into mush. You still want the transient story to be readable. And fourth, don't forget automation. Static risers get boring fast. Here's a great beginner exercise. Find a 1-bar break, slice it to MIDI, and choose just a few useful hits. Build a 4-bar riser with a sparse opening, a slightly denser second bar, more delay and filter opening in bar 3, and a repeated fragment with a short gap in bar 4. Add EQ 8, auto filter, saturator, echo, reverb, and utility. Then automate cutoff, feedback, and width. Listen back and ask yourself if the tension is actually increasing and if the drop feels stronger because of it. If you want to make this darker and heavier, keep the riser focused in the mids and upper mids. Let the sub stay clean for the drop. You can also add a quiet layer of noise, like vinyl hiss or white noise, filtered so it opens up with the build. Another nice trick is to reverse one or two sliced hits and place them in the last bar for a sinister pull-in effect. If you want extra movement, try switching echo timing near the end between 1/8, 1/8D, and 1/16 so the pattern feels like it's tightening up. And here's the big takeaway. This method works because it keeps the riser tied to the drum and bass DNA of the track. You're not just adding a generic effect. You're turning the break itself into tension. That makes the arrangement feel connected, alive, and genre authentic. So remember the core process. Pick a strong breakbeat, slice it into useful pieces, stretch it into a longer rise, process it with filter, saturation, delay, and reverb, automate the movement, and leave a little space before the drop. That's the riser stretch method with breakbeat surgery. In the next project, try building three versions from the same break: a clean tension riser, a dirty jungle riser, and a fake-out riser. That's a great way to train your ears and really understand how much character you can get from one simple source. Nice work. Keep experimenting, keep the tension building, and let that break do the talking.